Take your Bible, if you will, and let's go to John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. If I were going to put a title to the message this morning, the message would simply be this. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Sometimes we are in such a hurry, and so many things that are going on, and we are living a hurried and harried existence. I've caught myself already this last week with preparations for this week and the next week and on through the different things of being very hurried about life. And we have a lot of important things, or what we think are important, that we're about to be involved in. Got a big week ahead of us. And I want to call us to kind of take a deep breath, and to do it often throughout this process. And hopefully it'll come clear by the time the message is completed this morning where I'm coming from when I say that. So we got a lot of things and a lot of pressures that we've put on ourselves with things, and we forget about the business of basically living. And so let's take a look at a passage here. This is, I think, probably one of the most wonderful messages that there is in the entirety of the New Testament, if you really get right down to it, to what we're looking at here. We want to look in Chapter 20, looking at verse 19 and following. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What we have here is the first message of the risen Christ to the assembled disciples. Believer, this is primarily who we're talking to here this morning. Believer, the message he spoke to them is the message for us today. And there's not a more wonderful one in the entirety of the whole New Testament. First thing he says is, Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And then he shows them his hands and his side. Why does he do that? Because it's upon those wounds was the price paid to secure our peace. Because of those things, he secured the peace that you and I can have. Peace that is founded upon the blood of the cross. A salvation, if you will, that comes by no other way. A salvation that comes by no other means. A salvation that comes by no other man. First, he speaks a message, and that message is a message of peace. Peace, which is reconciliation, which my brother read about earlier this morning. That message of peace, that message of reconciliation that he's given to us a ministry of. ministry of reconciliation by virtue of receiving that peace and receiving the reconciliation. The second thing that he speaks of in this passage is a commission. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And the third part of the message that he has here is a message of power. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive is one of the main words in the book of John. The word receive appears some 34 times in this gospel. What is it to receive? Go down to the 31st verse of this same chapter. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. The word believe appears in this same gospel some 96 times. Go to the first chapter of John, if you will, for just a moment. First chapter of the Gospel of John. Look at the 12th verse there. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What's He saying? He's saying believing is receiving, and receiving is believing. It's the simplest act that God enables us to do, to receive, you see. He speaks, we receive. We receive peace, according to the passage in front of us. We receive a commission, according to that same passage, and we receive power, according to that passage. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in all places to the uttermost parts of the world. Receiving is believing, and believing is receiving. And receiving is one of the simplest acts that He enables us to do. So I say to you this morning that Jesus stands in our midst this morning in risen power. And in a manner of spiritual speaking, He shows us His hands and His side, and He says to us, peace be unto you. And all you have to do is to receive it. To receive it upon the basis of His death, we receive this peace that He offers to us. You see, pardon is free. His death has brought life. And the question is, will you have it? Will you have it? Will you receive that? Have you received that? Are you receiving that here this morning? Jesus laid down His life, and He bought freedom from sin. Will you have it? You can be reconciled to God at this very moment. At this very precise moment this morning, you can receive a pardon and forgiveness for your sin by simply believing, receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God this very second if you will receive it. Put away all the excuses. Put away all the clutter that has filled your mind. Put away all of the confusion that fills your heart. Pierce through that cloud of confusion that surrounds you here this morning. Pierce through that confusion and that cloud. Stop listening to the words of discouragement. Stop listening to the words of unworthiness. Stop listening to the words of selfishness. And look up to the only lover of your soul and believe Him when He says unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look up to Him. Quit looking at what you think you're going to have to give up and start looking to what you will receive. The moment that your lost heart cries out to a holy God for forgiveness and for mercy, looking to Him and looking to Him alone as your Savior, the holy God, because of what Jesus has done on your behalf, reaches down and cups your face and draws it to His. Oh, and here is something to think on. And He breathes out. He breathes out in that moment. That's what this passage is talking about right here. That He's come into this place, He's spoken peace to these individuals, given them a commission, and then He breathes into them. He breathes into these disciples at this moment. How profound is the giving and receiving of the Spirit of God? How profound is that? One moment you breathe out lost air, and the next moment you inbreathe the Spirit of God. This is salvation, you see. The receiving of the gift. The receiving of the Spirit of God. The receiving of mercy, the receiving of forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation, the receiving of these things. You breathe out one lost breath and breathe in what God has breathed into you, His Spirit. If you cannot breathe in, it's because you haven't breathed out. You have to empty before you can fill. You can't put everything on top of everything. And when we are emptied of ourselves, it leaves Him room to come in. The breathing out is necessary in order to make a void. Emptying of ourself, the surrender of ourself, you see, so that He can then breathe and we can bring in, receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be saved, to be filled by the Spirit of God, there has to be an emptying. There has to be an abandonment of all other allegiances before taking in the sufficiency of Christ. Before God breathed into Adam, he was a handful of dirt. Before God breathed into these disciples, they were a bunch of nobodies. And before God breathed into you and into me, there was nothing good in us. We were going through the motions of living, but we were headed for a sinner's hell. Breathing's really quite simple. What is outside comes on the inside and enables us to live. You can't hold your breath but so long. You take something in and it gives you fuel to be able to do something with your life, to live. Or what we call loosely living, you see. We breathe in and it gives us the fuel to go on living. When we receive the Holy Ghost, the life which is in God becomes the life which is in me. This is the inbreathing of the Holy Spirit. This is the indwelling of that Holy Spirit. This is the giving of the gift of God, you see. And when I receive that and bring that in, I bring His life in me. His life is inbreathed into me. Romans 8. Let's start in verse 1. In the 39 verses that we have here in this chapter right here, there are 29 references to the Holy Spirit. 29 references to this inbreathing of the Spirit, this life that is infused, this life that comes in to us. Verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is represented as the Spirit of life in these verses. Life, you see. And as you read down through here and you begin to connect one thought to the next thought, it teaches you like a little baby. It teaches you to walk with God. It teaches you to talk with God as you walk through this process here. Look at verse 15. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's talking to us as little children and saying, this is what's happening here. This is this life that is in you. In the elementary stages here, you have to understand that what you're bringing in is life to you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, little s, our spirit, that we are the children of God. When you take in the breath of God, when you take in life, His life passes into you. His life passes into you, you see. His Spirit weds your spirit. There's a marriage that takes place. And when that Spirit of God is inbreathed, it weds with your spirit. A wedding takes place. The divine spirit says, I do, to the human spirit. And there's a wedding that takes place there and joins these two together. And there begins the molding and the reshaping, as in every marriage. The molding and reshaping of a life. Our spirit wedded to the Spirit of God. Two separate now become one, wedded together, joined together, cleaving to one another. Life has now come in. We leave our old life, we begin a new life, cleaving to the Spirit of God. Yet we still have struggles. Why do we still have struggles? Because of the flesh that we live in, which is spoken of briefly here. This flesh. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Live according to the life that has been placed in you. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. It says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Do you see that there? The flesh lusts against the Spirit. What are lusts? Lusts are like overarching desires, overarching masteries, if you will. The flesh has overarching desires. The flesh has overarching masteries. But wait. It also says that the Spirit lusts against the flesh.
See, we are so content to leave it with the flesh lusting against the Spirit that we discount and overlook the fact that the Spirit lusts against the flesh. The lusts of the flesh come up from below. The lusts of the flesh come up from the earth, come up from this present life, from this present world, to drag a man down to this level, to drag a man down to the flesh level, to drag him down to the worldly level, you see. That's what the flesh lusts against the Spirit to do, to drag man down to the lower parts. Take a look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envyings, murders. Oh my goodness! These are the things of this world, the things of this age, the things of the prince of this world. You see. These are the things that lust against the Spirit, that want to drag us down to the lower parts of everything here. The lust of the Spirit, on the other hand, comes down from the upper heights to draw a man up. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the way the Spirit masters the lower desires. You have the love of God in you, and you are one with God by that Spirit that has been breathed into you, that has wedded your spirit. And the reason for that wedding is to draw you to the upper heights rather than to allow you to be pulled down to the lower. Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Let me connect two or three things here. We're eventually going to get to a point. We're going to get all these things pulled together here at the end. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God, all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that pulling upward that we're talking about. This is that Spirit lusting against the flesh to draw you upward, higher, on a higher plane, you see. Colossians for just a moment. Colossians, if you will. Colossians chapter 3. Pick up Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's calling on us to understand that we have peace, and let that peace of God rule in us, that Spirit would lust against the flesh and draw us up away from the lower things into the higher things, if you will. 2 Timothy for just a moment. Pick up 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, familiar passage, huge truth, huge depth. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it is God-breathed. That it is God-breathed, all Scripture is. It is given by inspiration. It is God-breathed. In other words, another subpart of that is inhalation. Inhalation. And what it's saying to us in this passage is that Scripture we should inhale. Scripture should be inhaled. as the breath of God. It should be inhaled. That first gulp of air that we get at salvation, that first gulp of God breathing His life into us at salvation, it ought to create a hunger for more of Him. That first breath that we get from Him as He cups our face and breathes out His Spirit, that we breathe in, should create a hunger in us to inhale and ingest the Word of God, you see. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed that we should inhale, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, which is life. It's living the life that He's placed into us and activating that life by virtue of the Word of God, inhaling and ingesting the Word of God, that we might live a life that is His life, not our life with His blessing, but His life to be lived through us. And His Word becomes life to a starving soul. He's the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me inhale this bread. Let me inhale this Word that I might live Your life in this world. And when we receive that gift, our desire now is to live like He lives, to see like He sees, to love like He loves, to have victory in this life as His victory is that has gone before us. The life that is impossible to live as a natural man, the life that is impossible to live as a carnal man, is possible with the spiritual man. We don't have to live a fleshly life. We are overcomers through His Spirit. And that's what Jesus is getting at in John chapter 20. That's what He's trying to get at. Peace and a commission and the power. Properly equipped, we are sent out. That's what He does. He sends us out in our equipped form. Properly equipped, we're ready to go out among the people. Look at verse 23. Whosoever sins, ye remit. They are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. How can we remit sins? By telling the gospel. By telling folks the gospel is how we remit sins. That's how this is all supposed to work right here. Telling the world. If we don't preach the gospel, if we don't live the gospel, the world will die in their sin. We have the only hope. And it's in us. We have the only hope for this world. Now take a deep breath. What are you breathing in? Do you have life? What's feeding the life that you have? Go to Job. We're gonna wind up there. Job chapter 12. All of that to say this. Job 12, looking at verse 7. Zophar's been getting at Job. He's been getting at him, telling him that he is a piece of work. And Job replies to him here in chapter 12, verse 7. But ask now the beast, and they'll teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom and in length of days understanding. Where do man and beast stand? Where they can breathe in and they can breathe out. Do men stand on the moon and breathe in and breathe out? Do men stand on Mars with their horse and breathe in and breathe out? Do men stand in the galaxies of mice and breathe in and breathe out? It's only on the earth. It's only on the earth. This place that was made for man. This place that was made for the beast. We stand on the earth and we breathe in and we breathe out. We have life on this sphere because God put this breath and this life here for us to breathe in and to breathe out. There's no other place that this takes place. And if it's going to take place somewhere else, they're going to have to take it from here to there. The place that God made for you and me. And we breathe in and we breathe out. And God made it all. He made it all. But this earth He made for us. And every breath is necessary for life. And with every breath we are dependent upon our God. Get that? Every breath that we take, we are dependent upon God for. Hold your breath and you'll be dead in a minute and a half. Without it. He's the source of life. He's life. He's all of it. You don't draw breath without Him. And every breath that we draw ought to be a signpost that says, thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, for what You've provided for me. I'm not worthy of these things. But You've given to me the gift of life for another moment. We breathe in. We breathe out. And yet we take for granted His mercy. We take for granted His ways. And every breath for a believer is breathing in and out the very name of God. The very name of God. The sound of breathing is the name of God. Yahweh. 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 Every breath that a man takes, he breathes in and out the name of God. All of the activity this week, next week, the week after that, the year after that, the decade after that, every activity of our lives is a continuation of simply living the life that we have received. We don't have special weeks. We have special moments every day. And we have special opportunities every day to breathe in and to breathe out. And we take in what we need so that we can put out His life. Put out the life of God. He allows us to bring in so that we can put out. Breathe God in. Breathe God out. Don't be addicted to hurry. Breathe in and breathe out. The Lord has peace for you today. The Lord has peace for you. I don't know what your trouble is, but He has peace for you, and it starts with receiving what's already been done for you. Receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving the gift, receiving the inbreathing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Cut through the confusion. Tune out the noise. Tune out all of those voices that are telling you all these things that you can't do. And focus on the one voice, that small, still voice that speaks to you in your heart of hearts and says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." You're laboring, and your burden is heavy. But mine is easy. Take of my yoke and learn of me. Come to me. Will you receive His salvation today? Will you turn loose of things if you are a believer today? Will you turn loose of things and get down to the elemental facts of this thing? That it is His life that He wants to live through you. He wants to live His life through you, not bless the life that you want to live. Accept His power. Perform the commission. Live the life that He's breathed into you. This is my message for this morning. Breathe in, and then breathe it out.